Good evening, punters, and welcome to another episode of the Tripod. It has been a long time between drinks for us with the extended layoff with the NRL, but we are back and we are one of the only major sports that are back at the moment, and we are certainly looking forward to it because we've been betting on absolute garbage over the last couple of months, and NRL is where we butter our bread. So we're very, very excited to be back and breaking down the round three from a punting perspective. Jacob, for anyone that missed your last week's pod, we did a re-season preview. You've got a lot of big news, obviously, not only the NRL being back, but you are also a proud new father. So congratulations to you and for anyone that didn't know at home. Are you excited for the season to be back, mate?
Oh, absolutely, mate. I think, what did someone call him? A little podling. So podling. That is huge. I mean, we've given out a couple of 100-to-1 multis over the years, but you'd have to say this is the craziest odds of all that for anyone who knows me to actually have a child. So very that true. Is a miracle in its own right. On that note, 2020, we all know it's been a crazy year and it has been a really tough year. We've got to acknowledge that for a lot of people. But hey, footy is something that adds a lot of positivity into a lot of our lives. So let's enjoy it. And us personally, we want to make the second half of this crazy year as great as it can be. We want you guys to come along with the journey with us, you know, whether you watch the pod, you listen to the pod, you interacting, you know, with us on social media, you just tell your mates, you send us reviews, whatever. We appreciate it all. And in return, we know what you guys want. You want winners and you want bulk winners. And our pledge to you is if you're following us, we are balls to the wall, working as hard as ever to give you as many winners as we can on this sport that we love.
Yeah, we have won every single year out of the last 5 years, so we do look to continue that this year. And we start off round three with an absolute barn burner. The Broncos hosting the Eels. This game is pick 'em. The total sitting at 40.5 points. Both teams 2-0. And might be surprising here, but I do like the Eels in this spot. I think there's been a lot of hype on the Broncos during the offseason, but they are coming out not fully healthy. And the strength of this Broncos team is the forward pack. You are missing TPJ. You are missing David Fifita, who is arguably the best forward, one of the better forwards in the comp over the first 2 weeks. You lose McCulloch, which isn't a huge loss, but even so, you know, he adds some strength to the bench there. Now, you do get back Alex Glenn and Joe Ofengau in and Matt Lodge in the reserve. So that does bolster it a little bit. But look, still, this Broncos team is not coming in fully healthy here. And we said in the preseason pod, this Eels team is an absolute contender. They are one of the best teams in the comp, in my opinion. They're coming into this one pretty much full strength. Reed Marnie has been cleared with his foot injury, so he's coming in. So I see this one that the Eels can match the Broncos forwards here. And I think the Eels have better outside backs. I think the Eels have a better halves pairing. I think the Eels get the job done here.
And how good is it that all the six undefeated teams all play each other as the season re-kicks off again? This is a great way to start the season. And we've got to talk about revenge factor. We do talk about it's a real thing that teams circle the calendar and you don't get much bigger revenge spot than the utter humiliation. We all know it, 58-0 first week of the finals. You know the Broncos heard about it all off-season. But Parramatta knows what's coming for them and they get to travel to Brisbane for this one. And one of the big factors that would usually help the Broncos is taken away in the there's no home crowd. And we spoke about that last week, that you have that's very unique in 2020. And that's an edge that's taken away from the Broncos. You're right, Parramatta are close to full strength. I mean, Nathan Brown is out, but and the key for them will be their forward pack matching the aggression of the Broncos. Because as you said, when you've got a guy like Ofengau, who plays for Queensland, who's on the Broncos bench, it's still a really strong forward pack, even with the guys who are out. But for me, the biggest edge is the combinations advantage to the Eels. You look at all their key position players and the whole backline. These guys have all played so many NRL games together. Let's look at the Broncos. Different fullback, different winger, different center, different halfback, different hooker. And the only forward who's starting tomorrow night, who started that 58-0 loss, is Payne Haas. Every other starting forward is a different player. So just that reshuffling, I think that matters when you've had this much disruption. And I think Parramatta have stayed fit. Brad Arthur's got them ready to go. They know 2020 is going to be special. And I think they're going to win this game quite comfortably.
And quite fitting that our first best bets for being off for a few months are against the Broncos. Everyone always gives us shit. We go for the Broncos and we always go against them. But we do have four best bets against our Broncos in this one. We are taking the Eels plus 1.5 points. That one you'll find at $1.82 on Bet365. We're going to take the Eels plus 1 point in the first half. You'll find that at $1.80 on BetEasy. We're taking the Broncos team total under 20.5 points. You'll find that one at $1.97 on BetEasy. We're also going to take the Eels team total over 18.5. You'll find that one at $1.89, also on BetEasy. Let's move on to Friday's early game. We've got the Cowboys hosting the Titans. The line is Cowboys minus 8.5 points. The total is 42.5 points. First game back after a long layoff, especially that first game of the season. And I think, you know, you can kind of consider this game, you know, first game back in the season. I think a lot of the same trends do apply. I want to find reasons to take teams with a big point spread. And that's what we have here with the Titans. So I'm trying to find reasons to take the Titans, and there are a few, you know, Michael Morgan out, Gavin Cooper out, you know, the Titans 0-2, everyone been heaping shit on them. They're sitting in the wooden spoon position on the ladder, but I just can't do it. This Titans team has, you know, they've got AJ Brimson out. They've had to reshuffle in the limited couple of months that they've had, and that's never good with a short prep and not being able to practice properly. Plus, you know, the game is in Townsville. I know no crowds, but you know, that is still a decent home field advantage that you probably give 1 point to the Cowboys. So as hard as I try, although I would lean Titans, I just can't find a way to actually put money on them.
You look at the last game, you can't really fault the form of Broncos Eels in the first two rounds of the season, where these teams you definitely can fault. And I'll say straight away, I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys, and I've talked about how I hate the fact that there's no other forwards that step up and get on the back of the brilliant work that Taumalolo does every week. You spoke about Morgan and Cooper being out. I think they can cover those losses because, you know, you're pretty lucky to have a guy like Jake Clifford who's played a couple of seasons and can slot straight into the halfback jersey. And Gavin Cooper's best years are behind him. But certainly the disruption is greater for the Gold Coast. Losing AJ Brimson's a killer, you know, Watkins as well in the back line there. Tyrone, well, people will ask, you know, how good's Valentine Holmes going to be, you know, still getting back into the swing of things at fullback. But what about Tyrone Roberts being asked to play fullback here? You know, that's a big question mark for sure. I talked about the forward pack that I want the Cowboys to really prove it. Actually, this Titans forward pack is feisty. You got Fotuaker, Hipgrave, Jai Arrow, and guys like Wallace, Boyd, Whitbread off the bench. I think that the Titans can actually match them, but I can't trust the Titans to execute in key moments enough to take them. So I would lean Titans, but I don't have a best bet.
So no best bets on that one. Let's move on to what should be an absolute cracker. The Roosters hosting the Rabbitohs Friday night footy. The Roosters are 7.5 point favourites. The total sitting at 38.5 points. Once again, you look at this game first up, and I don't know what you thought, Jacob, but I thought, geez, this line seems a little bit high. But we said a week ago, geez, you do not want to go against this powerhouse Roosters team in a shortened season off 0-2 with one of the better coaches in the league. And when you get a good team off a loss and a couple of losses to start the season, off an extended break, you know, usually we talk about, you know, a bad loss and then a bye. This is a few months now that this Roosters side has had to regroup, figure it all out, and they're coming in, you know, relatively healthy. I know that, you know, Boyd Cordner got those first couple of weeks off. Now he gets an extra couple of months off, and this Rabbit side is not coming in full strength. Cody Walker is out, which really does hurt, and James Roberts is out as well. And one thing that's crazy to me, Jacob, and maybe you can explain this to me, but you lose James Roberts, and I don't know why. This is your perfect opportunity, isn't it, to put Latrell back straight into the centres and move Alex Johnson back to fullback? But I guess they do want to persist with the Latrell experiment at fullback. I don't like that move. Although the 7.5 seems high, I just cannot bring myself to back against the Roosters 0-2 to start the season.
I felt the same way. Like, if the Roosters lose this game, and it's possible, and they fall to 0-3, I still think they would make the finals. But in saying that, you don't want to be 0-3 in a 20-game season. And you're right, we've got the back-to-back defending premiers coming into this game stronger than they were in the first 2 weeks. Now, Orbison is out, but J-Moz is in that back line. You mentioned Cordner is huge. Let's talk about Latrell Mitchell. What a tumultuous, you know, number of months he's had, both in the lockdown and the whole off-season. Don't forget, he actually wanted to stay at the Roosters. They didn't want him. So you could argue this is like the Latrell revenge game. But do we know that he's in any sort of decent shape to actually have his revenge on them? You know, that's a huge question. You're talking about the other key outs that the Rabbitohs have. I will say their forward pack is pretty underrated at this point. I think people write them off now, Sam Burgess retirement, that the forward pack isn't great. I think it is still good, and I don't think this will be a walkover like week one of the finals last year. I think for the Bunnies to win this game, it would have to be a masterclass with Reynolds, his short kicking game, repeat sets, and Damien Cook. I do expect the Roosters to win, but I'm not rushing out to kind of lay, as you said, over a converted try in round one. So again, we don't have a best bet.
Let's get on to the Warriors against the Dragons. Now, once again, this one at a neutral venue, Central Coast Stadium. So you wouldn't say a huge home field advantage to either team. The Warriors are plus 4.5 points here, the total at 41.5. Now, I said last week in the preseason pod that I do want to try and find ways to bet on this Dragons team early in the season. They're 0-2. I always like to bet on 0-2 teams. Now, the Warriors are also an 0-2 team, but this is in different ways. The Dragons could have won both games that they got. They're very unlucky, I felt, to go 0-2. And now they look at this draw. They've got a fairly easy couple of games to start the season. So if the Dragons say, this is our chance, I think that's how they got to look at this start to the season. Plus, this break has done wonders for them. They get back, McInnes, which is huge. Isaac Luke only had to play a couple of games there. You get back Tarek Sims, you get back Corbin Sims, and you get back Mikhaili Ravalawa. So this Dragons team coming in pretty hot. Now, we said last week about this Warriors team, this could go one of two ways for this Warriors side. It's been such a crazy offseason for them, and they are one of those teams that can just light it up or be absolutely terrible. And I do kind of expect this game to be similar. Like, this Warriors side could come in galvanized off the offseason, having to stay, in Australia and all the kind of shit that they've gone through in the offseason. But for me, that's even more reason why I feel more comfortable laying a decently high line. Plus, this Warriors team is decimated. Not decimated, but I mean, now that Fusatua is out, you're missing Adam Kieran, and I know it's no CHT, and you can slot Nikorima in there. But even so, this Warriors side, not full strength, up against a Dragon side that I want to bet on. I want every part of this Dragon side in this one.
Yeah, I think the energy will be there. I mean, if they put up a lackluster performance, the Warriors, in the first week of, this 18-week stint that they got to stay in Australia in camp, it's going to be a bloody long 18 weeks, and they've got nothing to lose. I'll even go one step further. If there was a team that was going to get a couple of favourable calls early by the ref, I mean, the Warriors are everyone's second favourite team. There's definitely, the refs don't want to stitch them up by any means. So in saying all that, it's more about the personnel for me. And it's also on top of Fusatua personal reasons. Of course, like, they lost Leeson Armau. Jazz Tavung is a huge loss. Bunty Afoa and Harris Tavita as well aren't playing in this game. And Dragons are one of the few teams that really has benefited from this layoff. You cannot underestimate. 100%. McInnes is their best player and their captain. So to get him back, and you talk about the Sims brothers as well, the Dragons just should be too good. So I'm comfortable. We're getting, laying a line that's under 4 points in this one. We've got to take the Dragons.
Best bets for the game. We do have a couple. We are taking the Dragons laying 3.5 points. You'll find that one at $1.83 in the sports bet pick your own line section. We're also going to take the Dragons minus 1.5 points in the second half. That one is $1.80 on sports bet. Let's move on to the Sharkies against the Tigers. The Sharkies are laying 2 points. The total is 39.5. This one being played at Bankwest Stadium, so pretty much a neutral ground for both teams. The Sharks coming in with two close losses to two good teams, to be fair, and in two close games. So don't take too much away from them for that. The Tigers coming in 1-1, one decent performance and then one absolutely horrific performance. The Sharks team, I said the Sharks team is kind of, maybe it's one of those teams that I do want to bet on now that, we're starting the season over. These guys like Dugan, Cherry, Moylan have had some time to get fit again. But
well,
now,
Cherry's not a good example.
Well, no, it's not now. Now it's not really because, Cherry's not going to be playing in this one for obvious reasons. Moylan only named on the reserves, which is worse than we probably thought he was going to be last week. So, a lot of distractions around the Sharks team in the last 24 hours, which, can be a galvanizing thing, but most of the time it's just a distraction and it distracts from, focusing on the game at hand. And I think the West Tigers have been focused, but they have bad things about them too. I mean, missing Corey Thompson is bad. I think he's underrated in the NRL. And now you have to do a bit of a backline reshuffle, with Dewey and Mbaya there. So that's never a good thing with short prep either. So look, I would lean Sharks, not enough for a best bet. And pretty much the only reason would be because they are 0-2 and could have easily not been 0-2.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Corey Thompson as well, but my understanding was Maguire just hasn't picked him. So he believes, obviously, with Mbaye coming back into the centres, that he's choosing to play Dewey at fullback.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, but I never worry too much if a team believes that they're better suited that way. You're right about the Sharks. things were actually looking up for a team that lost their first two encounters brutally. They got the best draw, I would say, of any of the 16 teams. They did not have a single double up against a finals team from 2019, and they'd already opened the season with Storm and Bunnies. They didn't have to play them again. And on top of that, you said it, Moylan, Dugan were coming back from rehab, Johnson time to kind of get his body right. And now it's like, as you say, like the Cherry scandal. Of course, Josh Morris, another guy who was going to play center there, has moved on to the Roosters. So that's like added disruption they just don't need. And on top of that, I think the Tigers actually are well suited by the break. You know, Luke Brooks is back, fit and ready to go, as mentioned him by. Harry Grant, the signing from the Storm, is awesome to slot him in because he could be starting for any NRL team at hooker. It's just he backs up a guy called Cameron Smith. So I'm not expecting him to work wonders game one, but it's great to be able to bring him into the team. And I do feel like if we've talked about the fitness factor, and I know Maguire's a drill sergeant, you know, and a fitness maniac, and if anything, he's guilty of pushing his guys too hard and burning them out. But in week three, give me a team coached by Mike Maguire, because I know they're going to come out and be fit and ready to go. Whereas the Sharks, like an older side, you've got your Fifitas and your Woods and a few of the other older playmakers who I've said have struggled with injuries. I just struggle to believe that they would have gone as hard in their kind of second preseason. So I'd have more faith to the Tigers, and you can get a short line. But in saying all of that, the disruption is not enough to back against the Sharks, because if it was, you would have backed against them in rounds one and two, and they covered the line in both those games. It's a tough team that still has quite a lot of nice players, and Britton Nakora is back in this team as well. So I respect them enough to not back against the Sharks either. No play for me at this stage.
This next one should be an absolute cracker. Saturday night, the Storm hosting the Raiders. The Storm are 3.5-point favourites, and the total is 37.5. Both teams 2-0. Obviously, they met in the finals last year, and I really like the Storm in this one. My favourite two sides of the week were the Eels and the Storm, and I think there's a lot of reasons to like the Storm in this one. First of all, the game is at Amy Park. I understand that, you know, it's going to be an empty stadium. Home crowd is not a factor, but you have the travel factor for the Raiders. And also, you know, last week they were saying John Bateman might be ready for this one. He won't be. That's a huge blow for the Raiders, in my opinion. He's one of their best players. And you touched on revenge, and I think this is a huge one, Jacob. You know, the Raiders beat the Storm last year in the finals, and that put the Storm on a collision course with the same half as the Roosters. And that was on, you know, a last-minute try by Bateman, and then a last-minute, I think, a conversion on the siren to win that game by 2 points. So the Storm are not going to forget that. And I said last week, the Storm is a team that I think you really want to bet on early after this break, because you've seen Bellamy. He's making sure none of these players are doing dumb shit during the break. He's going to make sure that they're fit, they're ready to go when they come into this one. And I think that, you know, the Storm are just going to come in more prepared. They're at home in this one. Revenge factor. This is one of my favorite games of the round.
I was thinking about that too. If the Storm wins that game, and don't forget Raiders beat them twice at Amy Park last year, but if the Storm wins that round one game, the Storm wins off a 2-week turnaround, yes. I mean a 2-week break at home if they were to host the Rabbits in the prelim. So that would have been four straight grand finals for the Storm that the Raiders basically kept them out of. And on top of that, the Storm are stronger than they were in the first 2 weeks of the comp, where they played well. Hectic Cheese is back. Christian Welsh is back. You mentioned Bateman is not back for the Raiders. You said this will be a cracker of a game. I'm going to actually say it won't be, because I think the Storm will just be too clinical for them. I'm going to back the discipline and the preparation of a Bellamy side that you talked about during the, you know, this crazy lockdown period. I think Cam Smith genuinely knows he has the team around him to send him out as a winner, winning the comp yet again. And I think they're going to have laser focus. Raiders have not been tested at all in 2020. And of course, there's been no trial games before we restarted the season. I just don't think they can match the Storm's level here, and Storm comfortably win this one.
And we've got three best bets on the Storm for this one. We're taking the Storm laying 3.5 points for the game. That one is $1.90. You'll find it on either Ladbrokes or on Neds. And next, we'll take the Storm team total over 19.5 points. That one is $1.87, also on Ladbrokes or Neds. And thirdly, we're taking the Storm -1.5 points in the second half. You'll find that one at $1.83. That one is on Ladbrokes and on Neds as well. Next up, we'll get to the Panthers up against the Knights. The Panthers are 2-point favourites and the total sitting at 42.5. This one pretty much at a neutral venue as well, Campbelltown Stadium. A lot of things to break down in this one. You know, Nathan Cleary missing from the Panthers, arguably their best playmaker. Ponga missing from the Knights. I don't think you can argue that he is their best playmaker. Jaden Brayley missing as well, a solid playmaker there. So both teams not coming in full strength. And, you know, I have a lean to the Panthers here, but more than anything, I like the under. I understand that this is a Sunday afternoon game. Generally, Sunday afternoon games are higher scoring, but we're pretty much into winter now. It's not going to be that hot. So not as much free-flowing football. You're missing your two best playmakers on either side. You're missing your two goal kickers from either side. So, look, I think the 42.5 points is a little bit too high in this one. And along with the lean towards the Panthers, that's why we've taken a Knights under for a best bet.
Yep, so this is the third 2-0 versus 2-0 matchup, and it is tough. And I think that, yeah, as you said, Cleary and Ponga, they're both missing their most important player. I don't know if Cleary is like the best player on the Panthers, but I think he is the catalyst there. You know, like they've got some quality guys like Kickow, obviously. Sure. But without Cleary, and you mentioned he's the in-game kicker, he's kind of the coach on the field, he's the goal kicker. It's going to be tough. But in saying that, I'm a big fan of Burton and Jerome Luai. I think they can do a job. Of course, Mitchell Pearce is the best half in this game. But that does get negated as well by the fact that the Panthers have Coruscant, whereas the Knights are trying to shoehorn Connor Watson into the nine. You know, they're not slotting McCulloch straight in, although I think that's a good pickup. Another player the Knights are missing, which I think is not being recognized as much as it should be, is Mitch Barnett. He's going to be out until at least July. You know, when he gets back into this team, it's a hell of a team, this Knights side. I really think they're going to do good things in 2020. And the forward pack's still really quality and could still get the better of the Panthers. You know, I really believe Adam O'Brien has enacted a culture change, and I think they're going to be disciplined and they're going to come out and all want to prove their spots. And it ties into, you know, liking the under, that they want to have that as their identity, being a defensive team this year, and certainly without Ponga and with one of the weaker outside back cores of any team, I don't see a heap of points in the Knights. The Panthers, they're a younger side. They've probably got more talent, certainly, in the outside backs. They've got a forward pack that can match it. And again, you've got the young halves. They're a bit more question mark. Like, there was that disruption, obviously, with the video scandal with Cleary. And does a young team, you know, keep us disciplined and stuff in the kind of second preseason? We're going to find out. But I do think that the Panthers are the better team here, and we can just lay a low number and get the Knights under a decent team total. We've got to do it.
Yep, and that's what we've done. We've got a couple of best bets on the game. We are taking the Panthers laying 1.5 points for the game. You'll find that one at $1.91 on BetEasy. We're also going to take the Knights team total under 20.5 points. You'll find that one at $1.86 on BetEasy, and that's the only 20.5 in the market, so make sure you get on that one quickly. To round out round three, we've got the Seagulls up against the Bulldogs. The Seagulls are 7.5 point favourites with a total of 38.5 points. This one, once again, at Central Coast Stadium and a neutral venue for both teams. I kind of said I have reasons to really like the Seagulls early in the season, especially after an extended break. You've got guys like Tommy Turbo, Jake Trbojevic coming off surgeries, more time for them to heal, and they are, you know, two of the best three players on the Seagulls team. It's littered with talent. But at the same time, this Bulldog side, as much as I hate them and I hate their style of play, it might be a style of play where you don't really want to back against them in the first round, because after an extended break, you know, it often is the times you saw the Eels up against the Bulldogs, you know, first game of the season. The Eels came in a little bit rusty. The game ended 8-6. There wasn't a try till the 65th minute, I think. So I think, you know, although I don't think it's going to be a similar situation here, you know, laying big points with Manly, I think, here is a little bit dangerous given the way that the Bulldogs play, limited training in the lead up to this for all teams. I think they could come in a little rusty, and a rusty team is not something you want when you're laying, you know, a hefty number of points. So it's a stay away game for me.
My question is this Dez's revenge game because the Bulldogs fired Dez, or is this the Dogs' revenge game against Dez because he backloaded all those contracts in 2016 and this club is still trying to rebuild after that? It is tough for the Dogs. We talked about the forwards that they've lost. Like Aiden Tolman's not playing in this game. They lost Joe Stimson. They lost Chris Smith in the Indigenous game. And then you had to stand down Harawira and Naira. And in saying that, it's still a pretty awesome forward pack that the Dogs can put on the field, and still one that can definitely push Manly here. They're not going to necessarily roll the Dogs, but I believe Manly is a top four level side in this competition, oh, yeah, a real yeah. chance to win the comp. I don't want to go against them either. You're right. It's just there's that extra uncertainty. I mean, this is essentially, to me, round one, you know, in terms of the way you think about it from a betting perspective. And you hate to lay large number of points in round one. The one thing we do know about the Bulldogs is they make you earn your victory, for sure. So I'd be very surprised if Manly was to lose this game, but no certainty that they win by a big number. It could be a grind. I mean, you look at the games Manly's played this year, they've scored 4 points against the Storm, 9 against Roosters. So a team that hasn't scored double digits yet and you want them to win by double digits
right.
is asking a little bit. I know everyone's multi, if it's still alive, is going to need Manly yes. for sure. And doesn't always work in the favour of the punters. So we're happy to pass this game for now.
Yes, indeed we are. So that's a bunch of best bets. That'll do the round for round three preview, guys. Thanks for tuning in. So I think we had 11 best bets for that one. So look, those are our initial best bets. If we find any more on Friday, we will release them to you. But look, thank you for tuning in. If you're a new viewer, thanks again. And we will catch you guys at 10 p.m. For the, well, a review or a recap of round three of the NRL. So thanks again, guys, and we'll catch you on Sunday.
Lego.